Aren't you glad of that? Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. And we're going to turn to Psalm 27, if you will. Psalm number 27, verse number 10. Psalm 27. And we'll have a lot of scripture, which is not unusual, I understand. But if you can hang tight with me, you'll catch a couple of those. Some of those we'll wait on. Some of those we'll just kind of mention. But I want you to see something real sweet today. I want you to see something real sweet today. Psalm 27. Verse number 10. Look at this. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of all creation, the one who puts us all together. He believed to see the goodness of the creator of the universe in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let me go back and read that one more time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that passage, but I want you to see something here. Every father has failed somewhere along the way, some more than others. You know, when we're little, we kind of think dad's Superman. And then what happens? We become a teenager, and all of a sudden we start realizing dad's not a Superman. We realize that he has his faults too. And we're not careful. So we know, I think I know more than dad does. Well, maybe you knew something, one of the things, more than he did. So you know how we do. Well, I know everything better than he does, you know, how we do. And you know what? There may be some folks who had a father that wasn't really present. The Father's Day can be a tough time. You know, it's kind of funny. You think about moms, you know, they have to love us. They're our mother. You know, you ever hear the saying, that's a face only a mother could love? I'm sorry, I have to say this. When Janet's brother, Phil, was born, he's the same age as I am. her mother said, that's got to be the ugliest baby I've ever seen. She loved him. She loved Phil, but he said, that's got to be the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my life. And, mothers have to love. And fathers should. But it's almost as if you kind of have to earn dad's love to a certain extent. There's a certain fitness, a certain, you get to the point where you just kind of think, I need to know that I've pleased him. And you know, that gets tough. And I know that there are some circumstances where, you know, fathers have not really been around at all. In fact, maybe you almost wish they hadn't been around. It was almost worse than they were around. And I understand that. This is not the message, but remember, they're just sinners in need of a Savior just like everybody else. And I have found that a lot of times when a father doesn't know how to show love, he didn't grow up around it. Not always, but I found a lot of times he didn't know what it was never taught himself. In fact, generations. I mean, my father's generation and generation before that, the vast majority of that generation, those fathers were the tough ones. You don't say I love you, you don't hug your son, you don't cry, you know what I mean? And it's like almost, now I'm not into the feminizing our men, but on the other hand, I do think that there's a tenderness that a father can give that only a father can give. Now, in our passage here, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, if the Lord takes me up, look what he wants the Father to do, his Heavenly Father. Teach me. Fathers, you need to teach your kids. Not just yell and scream and push them around. Teach them. Train them. Do it with them. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. There's some guys, you know, when the boy's born, they go out and they buy, you know, a baseball mitt and a basketball, and they'll buy the bat, and they'll buy a hat, you know, that's got their favorite team on there, you know, and depending what it is, they're going to raise them in their way. Well, the Lord will raise you in his way. He says, leave me in a plain path because of mine enemies. A father teaches their children to see the enemy, so to speak, to watch out, to hear the warnings. He says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses and rise up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. When you're falsely accused as a child, you want dad to stand up for you. And dad does. Now, dad doesn't stand up for you when you did wrong. He may stand with you, but he's not going to stand up for you. You know, you got to be careful with that. Then it says, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for the false witness rise up against me, and such to breathe out cruelty. I had fainted. I don't know whether I could have made it, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Guys, you know, I'm not sure you realize the impact you have. So your kids might, you know what, sometimes they say, well, I can make it if dad says I can. I can do this if dad's with me. It'll be okay if dad's there. I don't think I could have made it if dad wasn't there. Now he's saying, I'm transferring that to the Lord. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. It's going to be okay when dad gets home. He'll take care of it. That's the way dad's supposed to be. Now, you shouldn't stand for wrong. You stand for right. But it's going to be okay when dad's here. I want to kind of look at this morning mostly, though, on the Heavenly Father side. And I think we'll see the Earthly Father job in the middle of all this. So let's pray. And I'm going to talk about there are no orphans of God. There are no orphans of God. Once you're his child, you're his child. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the encouragement we'll see here. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to our folks. And Lord, I'm afraid that, you know, in the middle of this message, somewhere along the way, we may touch on some sensitive spots. But Lord, no matter what our earthly parents have done or haven't done or should have done, I'm so grateful we have a Heavenly Father. I'm a child of the King. Lord, may we be encouraged. And those who have had great fathers, may we be grateful and thankful for what you've given us. So Lord, we put this time in your hands and once again speak to our hearts. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Fathers are often the picture that children have of God, their father. What they see their earthly fathers do is often what they assume their heavenly father would do. What they see their earthly father is, for a lot of times, it sets a tone for what they think their heavenly father is. Now, by the time they get 6, 7, 8 years old, they're starting to realize that we can't, leap tall buildings in a single bound. We can't run faster than a speeding bullet or stop a, a, a roaring train or anything like that. We find out we can't. But we've set a tone. We've set a tone. And maybe we've set a tone and we've kind of passed that 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old mark. There is a lot that you can do to go back and try to make that right. One is to admit wrong and move on. But to admit wrong and ask for forgiveness. Now, if that's what they assume their father is, I want fathers to see the security and the love that we need to convey to our children as we study our Heavenly Father. On the other hand, every father has fallen short of the glory of God, and we need to forgive our fathers for not being perfect any more than we are perfect. And I also want us to have hope and be encouraged as well. When our earthly parents fail us, and they will, just as sure as we failed the Lord, yet He will take us up. Let me give you several points. The first point here, you are not without a father. Whether you have an earthly father or you don't, you are not without a father. Some folks who have had a less than perfect father think they were shortchanged in life and that they're destined for failure. The world wants to make you think that exact thing. Well, you're going to be a burden on society because your father didn't say I love you when you were little. Well, you know what? He should have. But we need to get over that. We have a Heavenly Father. You may have not had an earthly father around much, if at all, but you can have a Heavenly Father around 24/7. There are many people who have had an earthly father around all their lives, but they do not have a Heavenly Father. That would even be worse. The world wants to use that excuse, and we too often believe them, and we go to therapists and take depression meds and all kinds of things, and we have been convinced that we're stuck in this gully of defeat and failure and that it's our lot in life, so pity me. I'm not talking about the hurt. I understand all that. But you can't change history. In my office, I got this, and this is, I know it sounds cold, but I got this thing up, I got this little wooden plaque that sits up on my shelf. It says, it is what it is. And we live in a world where it is what it is. And I'm not trying to make light of that. And yes, I had a father who was around, and I understand that. But the fact is, we have a Heavenly Father. When father and mother forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. He will. When someone gets saved, they now have a Heavenly Father. That's far superior than any earthly father could ever be. The secondary earthly father really doesn't need to have any significant effect if we will realize who our real father is. Sometimes our earthly fathers lead us in the wrong direction. I know it sounds terrible. I'm not trying to turn my back on my earthly father. I love my father. And we should try to do our best to love him. But what I'm saying is, we have a father. There are no orphans. Number two, our Father is our comforter. I wanted to sing that song. You all hear the old song? Going home and my childhood. I forgot. How's it go? Father, my... Anyway, talk about walking with Dad. Walking with Dad and having his comfort around you. John 14:16 says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, one who stands up for you, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you. I love this. I will not leave you comfortless. You know what the word comfortless means? Orphaned. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. Sometimes we grow up and we've been, you know, we couldn't wait to get out of the house and make our own decisions and have our own place and, you know, had our own spouse and our own kids. I remember we had a gal come through one time for a while. She said, boy, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm so sick and tired. My parents tell me what to do. I want to be able to do what I want, so I'm going to get married and have a kid so I can do what I want. You wonder what watermelon wagon did she fall off of, you know? I mean, this, my goodness. That's part of our job, to comfort, to be with, to care for. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, bereaved, parentless, fatherless, orphaned. He says, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. In other words, don't wait for the world to get on board with this before you believe it, because they have no idea what you're talking about. They don't see it. Don't expect them to see it. They're going to tell you, you don't have an earthly father, so you don't have a father. Don't believe them. If you're God's child, you're God's child. You have a father. They may not see him, but he's in you and will be with you. Verse 20 says, and at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, will manifest myself to him. In other words, if you want to see God working as your Father, two things. Get saved. Receive Christ as your Savior. That means you understand that you're a sinner. You understand because of your sin, you deserve death and hell. And that's the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our place. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's already prepared. It's already paid for. If you'll take it, he'll give it to you. Now, if you're saved, watch. Let the Father move in and then treat the Lord like your Father. In other words, obey the Father. Let me go back. He says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So you'll get this figured out. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And this says, and Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, well, how is it that thou will manifest or show yourself to us and not unto the world? How is it we get a father out of the deal and the rest of the world doesn't? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, bringing yet present with you. But the Comforter, the one that walks beside us, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. And remember, that's what the Father's supposed to do. Teach us all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have sent unto you. Peace. That's part of the Comforter. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, the presence of the Comforter gives you peace. Like having daddy right there. Just as a child knows everything's okay, because daddy's right there. We adults can know everything's okay. His daddy's right here. We have a father. We all have a father. Our father is our comforter. Number three, and I've already said this, but I want to talk about it a second here. If he's our father, well, will he always be my father? There are no orphans with God. What shall separate us from the love of God? There are no orphans with God. Once you are God's child, you don't have to worry about the Heavenly Father leaving you. This Father will not run out on you. Brother Myers, he's teaching the children's church this morning, said there was a family that was going where he was serving in a couple's ministry. And there was this couple started coming to church, and they were just living together, weren't married, but they started studying and learning and so forth, and decided, you know what, it was probably best if we got married. And they had a little girl, and so the class kind of went all together and put the marriage together. They put a wedding together. And during everything was kind of done, they're all married, and the little girl started crying. She was probably 7, 8, 9 years old, and they had been together that long, but just never married. And what's the matter? She says, now they're going to get a divorce. What? My friend says, as long as they're not married, they can't get a divorce. But it seems like as soon as they get married, they get a divorce. And she was afraid that they were going to lose. She was going to lose something out of this deal because they wanted to get married. Now, we got to marry the right one. And God will give you some direction in that if you let him. But even if that does happen, there's no orphans with God. God will never leave us. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I read to you just a few minutes ago. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You have a Father. He's not walking out. Some fathers walk out on their kids time after time. Some fathers walk out and never return, and the kids never see them again. Some children are fearful that their father is going to walk out and leave them because he has threatened so many times. By the way, don't threaten that stuff. No wonder they have no security in life. No wonder they feel like they gotta gather stuff up. Some children actually steal to try to hold on to things because I don't know if mom and dad's going to take care of me, but I'm going to have to take care of me. They don't know they have a Heavenly Father to take care of them. He will never leave us. Watch this. Our Heavenly Father will not forget about us. One time, it was terrible. It was down in Westminster. The kids were still young. And Nathan was always busy. How Nathan is, he's busy doing this and that and other thing. And we were at church so much time, it was like our second home. So he's just running around having a good time. And I don't know whether we were there in two cars or what it was. But we got home from church. There were only three and a half miles. And I said, where's Nathan? I don't know. Where's Nathan? Well, was he in the car? I don't know. Was he in the car? We left him at church. Now, you know what the thing is? If I remember right, he didn't even know and didn't care. You know why? This isn't ordinary, but my folks wouldn't let me down. You know what? Sometimes the Lord allows us into some things we don't understand. You know what we got to remember? The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not let us down. He has not forgotten us. God's not going to leave you. Psalm 121 says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy's the one who created the whole universe. That's how we need to look at it. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. But he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Doesn't sleep on the job. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. He's our Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy says, 31:6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I can fall asleep on the job. Father will not leave us. He will not forget us. I'm not sure there's the right way to say this, but I'm going to say it. Our Heavenly Father pays child support. He knows we have need of these things. By the way, even if those around us fail to stay faithful to the Lord will still take care of us. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore thou henceforth shalt have war. So if you've walked away from them, that's fine. But God is looking for somebody to be a blessing to. When things are tight, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When we are worried about our next meal, Matthew 6:31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, watch, listen to this, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So what do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now go through old Psalm 23, but the Lord is my shepherd. He's my caretaker. I shall not want. I won't have any need. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The Lord is not a deadbeat dad. Deuteronomy 4:30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, shalt be obedient to his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now, I don't want to bring up bad memories, but funny, the little things we have in the back of our minds. Some folks have had to go through a tough situation, probably really nobody's fault, but Dad left this earth early. An accident or health-wise or something. And they say, well, my dad died when I was 6, or my dad died when I was 12, or my dad died when I was 2. And this is not to be flippant, but our Heavenly Father is not going to die on us. There's not going to be some kind of accident. All of a sudden, he's not our Father anymore. His power is not going to run out. He is eternal. The promises of this Father do not have an expiration date. They are good for generation to generation. Psalm 90 verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 103, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. He won't die on us. Better yet, ready? Our Heavenly Father will never cast us out. He will never cast us out. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, maybe I messed up. Maybe I ruined it. And I hate to say it, but I know that some parents have said, well, if you're not going to straighten up, you're out of here. I'm not going to put up with this. Wait a minute, you're the parent. Now, I know you have rules. You may say, you choose not to keep our rules, that then you can leave. That's a different story. But because they embarrassed you or did something that they shouldn't have done, you're going to kick them out? I better be careful with that. Psalm 103 says this about our Heavenly Father. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath dealt with us after our sins. I'm sorry. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a child pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. One of the things you need to remember as a parent, guess where they got their sin? Look in the mirror. We have a father. When father and mother forsake us, the Lord will take us up. He's our comforter. He will not cast us out. There's no orphans with God. He will not walk away. He won't forget us. We have a father. Now hang on. Let's flip the coin. The father will never leave us nor forsake us. You ready? But there are a lot of runaways. The father will never leave us nor forsake us. But there are a lot of runaways. How much time do you spend with your father? Now, we talk about our earthly father, and one of the things that we try to do when we were raising the kids, almost every Friday night we would go visit my mom and dad. Of course, he was usually working for a long time, and he'd get home about 10 o'clock by the time we were ready to take the kids home and put them to bed. And he says, y'all just stayed a little longer. So you need to come home a little sooner. Time for these little ones to get in bed. So toward before his accident, he actually had started coming home and spend some time, had a chance to spend some time with Dad. But if you want a Heavenly Father, spend some time with him. I think there are many adolescent Christians who think they know more than God. They're off in their own world, doing their own thing, wandering away from God, and then wondering why God is not following them around like a puppy. They wonder why God doesn't feel close to them. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because our time is short. But in Luke 15, there was a certain man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that follows to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Luke 14, verse 15. I'm sorry, 15, verse 14 is where I am. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You don't owe me. Well, I tell you what, here's a different story. You're my father. You're supposed to do this. Don't go there. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And he began to be merry. If you don't have a heavenly father, it wasn't the father who walked away. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But you know what you need to do? You need to walk with your father. Don't ask your father to walk with you. Walk with the Father. The Father didn't move away from us. See, runaways a lot of times don't like the rules of the Father's house. And sometimes we think the Father's too restrictive. And we can live for a short time, by the way, on the blessings of our Father. He did. Man, he took all his goodies and he all went off to another place. And it worked well for a while. But then all the money ran out. And you see, the same thing goes with us. We spend some time with our Heavenly Father, and that's good. And we think, you know, I've got this. I can go out and do what I need to do because Lord's with me. I'm doing well, and so we can run a little bit on the momentum, on the goods that God has already given us. But there's going to come a time that's all going to run out, and you're going to be just as dry and lonely and poor and miserable, maybe more so than you've ever been in your life, because you've walked away from your Father. Some people only go home to see Dad when they have their hand out. Sometimes that's the only time we go see our Heavenly Father. We want to put our hand out. They need. Well, you're my Heavenly Father. You're not supposed to leave us nor forsake us. And you know what? I'm not so sure I really feel that. And if that's the kind of God He is, that's the promise He's not doing. Don't talk to your daddy that way. Don't talk to our daddy like that. Listen, we can cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, but we've got to come to Him. What did the prodigal son says? Listen, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Would you just give me a job? When we come with a broken, a contrite heart, He will not despise. And He'll say, but you're my son. You're my son. God is waiting at the house for you to come home. That's a beautiful picture. Notice, Dad didn't stop the boy from leaving. Your decision. Your decision. Don't blame Dad because he didn't stop you. But ever since that boy left, more and more, he stands on the porch, looking down the path. Hoping it's going to be that day. Now, he didn't change the rules. Because the rules were for the boy's good. Didn't change how he's going to run the house. Well, okay, I made you mad, so we'll change. No, he didn't do any of that. Hope he comes back. And when the boy comes to himself, kind of, I have a Heavenly Father. Why have I walked away from Him? Why have I decided that I didn't want to keep His rules, keep His commandments? I didn't want to fear Him, respect Him. I wanted to go out. In fact, I found out He had a whole lot more going on than I thought. Because I have nothing. And there stands the Father. Looking down the little road there. And over the knoll, he sees some dust. And then this little head starts bouncing up over the ridge there. don't recognize the clothes, but he has that same gait he had when he started walking when he was little. And I can see him coming over the hill. That's my boy. Do you know when he forgave him? I think he forgave him when he saw him walk over that hill. His heart wanted to, in fact, probably to a certain extent, the day he left. At that point, he said, listen, my boy is lost, now he's found. He was dead, he's alive. He comes up and tells his dad, listen, I'm not fit. I've sinned against you and against God, and I'm not fit to be your son. He didn't say, I know. Yeah, you really blew it this time, didn't you? Just let me be one of your servants. He never even answered that. Get a robe. Get a ring. Let's celebrate. Some of you walked away from God. But he's waiting for you to come home. I like that song. He's been faithful. You know that song? He's been faithful. The last part of that song, one verse says, he is waiting with open arms, and I see once again, he's been faithful. Faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Yet in my heart, I have questioned, even failed to believe, but he's been faithful, faithful to me. One last thing before we close up. Are you part of the family? There's a heavenly Father who wants to adopt us into the family by the spirit of adoption. You'll have a Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not cast you out. He's not going to die on you. He will always be there. And we will enjoy the heavenly Father as long as we're willing to walk with the Father. Is God your Father? Hang on, listen, I'm not done. Don't put your shoes on yet. Is God your Father, or are you just visiting at his house with friends? Let me say that again. Is God your Father, or are you just visiting at his house with some friends? We must be born into the family. Now, some folks are not orphans. They're outsiders. Once you're part of God's family, you will always be part of God's family. You may be corrected. You may be disciplined. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if he's doing that, then that means you're part of the family. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He goes, listen, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He chastens whom he loves. Why? To keep us on the paths of righteousness. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his sake. God loves. Well, I wanted to go to church to feel good when I got done. Well, you'll feel better after you feel bad. If that's what it takes to get us close to the Lord. The Lord will let you know that you are his child if you're willing to walk with him. I want to read this to you. I'm almost done. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. You know what that means? Those who obey him. Those who are led by the Spirit. Spirit is telling them to do it, and they're doing it. They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit is self-bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. And so that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. To truly experience being a child of God, then I think we need to stop being a child of the world. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. There are no orphans of God by God's choosing. If you're the orphan of God, or you feel like an orphan of God, because you chose it. Now, He'll never leave you. You're not going to lose your salvation. But you sure can feel like that prodigal son, like an orphaned child. Brother Mack down here showed something that Nathan was teaching a Sunday school class, and I think this is true. He didn't mention it. It's just kind of a little passing thing there. And if you were in the auditorium Bible class, you heard him talk about Saul, and he went to the witch Endor, and he said, "Well, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? What? Tell me what's going to go on." And he call up Samuel from the dead. Okay, now I think it surprised the witch as much as it surprised everybody else. But you could go back and study it. But Samuel says to Saul, "This isn't going to be good," because Saul's already dead. Samuel is dead. So he brings Samuel up from the dead, and he says to Saul, "Tomorrow you're going to be with me." It means you're going to be dead. You know what I think? As much of a prodigal as Saul was, even at death, I think he's going to be with Samuel. I think he believed God, but he walked away from God. In other words, Samuel's going to be in paradise. And I don't think he just means the realm of the dead. I think he's going to be in paradise with Samuel. So that's how merciful and forgiving our Father is. Now, don't wait till you're ready to die to get right. Enjoy the trip. Take a hold of Daddy's hand. Let Him guide you all the way. You have a Father. There are no orphans, but there's an awful lot of runaways. Father, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, I pray that You'll give us Your wisdom. Thank You for this time and Your word. Heads are bowed.